It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Hey, Schmuck, get off my phone. Just shut up. Leave me alone. Dinner, I start thinking like a sinner, been double-crossed. Who's that on the other end? You say you're my trusted friend? Are you kidding? If I'm a sucker for your fishing, I won't have a pot to piss in. That's your mission. It feeds my rage like I'm on roids. Don't wanna come off paranoid. But it's getting dangerous and continues to derange us by and by. Both their hands are in your pocket. Those headlines that seem to rock it just turn out to be clickbait. You think you got it straight, but man, it's just AI. Damn scammers, they'll try to pull a fast one. Damn scammers, don't believe me, you can ask one. Damn scammers, they cheat, they steal, they lie. It's enough to make you cry.
I wish they all would die.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. If you're not sure whether that song is a musical contribution or a PSA, well, maybe it's a little bit of both. We're going to get into exactly what that song is in just a moment. But one of the people that is partially responsible for bringing it to fruition is my next guest, someone that I have admired and looked up to for over a quarter century and who has been a tremendous supporter of mine and a mentor of mine, quite frankly, a man who knows more, not just about talk radio, but about the radio business than almost anybody alive. I am very, very pleased to welcome to the program Michael Harrison, founder and publisher of Talkers Magazine and a member of the rock group Gun Hill Road. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Frank. And once again, you humble me and embarrass me with your beautiful introductions. Thank you so much. I'm also not only a mentor, as you say, which I consider an honor, but I'm an admirer of yours. What you have done with this show and with your career is remarkable. It's great to be with you again.
Well, I appreciate that very much. All right. I don't want to make the audience vomit with too much mutual admiration. If people have not heard our previous conversations, though, I want to get into Get Off My Phone, which we just sampled and we'll sample again on the way out. But explain to folks a little bit about your journey back to music. How does a radio journalist, and I know you've had a lot of other roles in radio, DJ, talk show host, but I think people have seen you on the news. They've read you quoted in not only industry publications, but a lot of mainstream publications analyzing the nature of radio and talk radio specifically. How does a radio journalist become part of a rock band, in this case, Gun Hill Road, that most people know from the 1970s with that great song, Back When My Hair Was Short?
Well, one of the reasons that people know this band from the 1970s is because I was one of their biggest champions on the radio playing them. So, I mean, it's all very logical. I for many of your listeners in the New York area, I know that you're heard around the country, but in New York, many folks may remember me from a legendary radio station that unfortunately is no more. It was an FM album rock station, WNEW-FM. And I was the host of the morning show there back in the early 70s. I was very, very young, but I was the host there. And in those days, we basically, the DJs were like music gurus and musicologists. We were very tied into the music and the culture it represented. We were able to play what songs we wanted to. There were no playlists per se. And one of my favorite bands was this young band from the New York area called Gun Hill Road. At that time, it was a trio. They had a couple of albums out. We played them as an album rock band. They were one of the favorite bands locally. They used to play at the Bitter End, and they opened for a lot of acts, and then they were a headliner themselves. They were a midnight special. I mean, they were a big deal back in the day when there were so many groups at that time that are no longer remembered. They had one big hit single back when my hair was short, and then they basically faded away into the 70s. Well, we always remembered the role we played together. They remembered me and I remembered them. And about 15 years ago, they got back together and made a third album called Every 40 Years. And I was just thoroughly delighted, and I became involved, sure. And I helped them promote it, and I introduced their reunion concert at the Bitter End. And lo and behold, because I do write, I write music, I'm very interested in current events, I joined the band as a songwriter and one of the voices. And now there are four of us in the band. The band consists of its original founder, Steve Goldrich, one of its original members, Paul Reich, uh-huh. An absolute musical genius, Brian Coonan, who is known to people who go to Broadway theater. He's one of the best instrumentalists in Broadway. And me, Michael Harrison. And we do songs based on my talk radio interest. We do songs that are that direct their attention to current issues. And this latest one, Damn Scammers, Get Off My Phone, speaks for itself. We do not like scammers, and we think that this is a major societal problem.
Yeah, I don't think anybody likes scammers. And, you know, we've talked about some of the previous forays that blend the cultural world or the pop cultural world and the news world. Obviously, Idiots Walk Among Us, about all the clowns on both the left and the right. Obviously, the terrific song that you did about animal rights, which is another issue that sort of erases the left-right paradigm. You want to talk in an era where everything seems so polarized. The one thing that seems to bring everybody together is they wonder, hey, if I get a phone call from a number I don't recognize, should I pick up? And they all know, if they haven't been scammed themselves, they all know somebody that's been scammed. Why do song about it? Why make a song about phone scammers?
Well, one, it's a chance to vent. Two, it's a chance to make people realize that they are not alone. Three, it's a chance to bring the problem to a higher level of public consciousness, because we do have to do something about it. In a democracy, our legislators answer to us, and we have to realize that this is a problem that is way behind the curve in terms of the legislatures. They don't understand what to do with it. Quite often, it takes time for legislation to catch up with technology. This is a historic situation. Now, with technology moving so quickly, it's even harder for legislators who are out of touch to do anything about it. They don't even understand how the internet works in many cases. So those are the three reasons. And the fourth reason is, being a talk radio person, which I am, I like being involved in the writing of songs that spark conversation. And our songs have been sparking conversation on radio stations around the country about issues that are not just plain old same old left versus right, right versus left. As you pointed out, this is not a partisan issue. This is something that brings us together in terms of what's wrong with the country that we all share in the problem. Same thing with idiocy. It wasn't against the left or against the right. It was against people in our democracy who don't vote with any kind of understanding of the issues, operate on emotion and hearsay, and basically concern themselves with frivolousness, you know, frivial things. So, these are topics that in a way bring people together to face mutual problems, as opposed to constantly being pitted against each other.
If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Michael Harrison. He's not only the publisher of Talkers Magazine, but part of this terrific group, Gun Hill Road. You can hear this new song and read some of his other work at talkers.com. Damn Scammers, Get Off My Phone. Michael, it seems like the media and people in general spend a great deal of time worrying about things that are problems that are very unlikely to affect them. The one that most immediately comes to mind is shark attacks. Shark attacks get a whole lot of coverage, yet the overwhelming majority of people that go to swimming pools or beaches this summer, they have nothing to worry about when it comes to shark attacks. Another one, and again, it's easy to say if it's not something that you're affected by, is a stranger abducting your child. The chances of a stranger walking by and snatching your child off the street are much, much less likely than winning the lottery while being struck by lightning. This problem, though, of phone scammers and people getting ripped off, whether it's through something that's from a text message or an email, even smart people like, you know, John Podesta, as we saw in the 2016 email, 2016 campaign, they can get scammed with every variety of scam. This is a real problem. And as you point out, and contrary to getting solved, it's actually getting much worse. From your perspective and from what you know, Michael, how big of a problem is this in the country?
I think it's a major problem up there with terrorism. It's up there with the with inflation. It's up there with street crime. It's up there with pandemics. It's up there with war. It is corroding the quality of our life. It is making us distrustful of our institutions. It is spreading a lowering of the bar of integrity, where dishonesty and disingenuousness is becoming part of the zeitgeist. It's becoming part of the culture beyond just the digital arena. We're talking about pharmaceutical companies. We're talking about banking institutions. We're talking about institutions of higher learning. We're talking about the pharmaceutical industry. We're talking about a lot of institutions that we, insurance companies, that we have come to trust in our life. We can't trust them anymore. They're not scamming us, but they are basically distorting the facts, selling us with psychologically oriented methods of convincing us to do things that are not necessarily good for us, and basically out to grab money from us. And so this is a problem of culture. It is a problem that can destroy your life. It can steal your savings. It can ruin your reputation. And it has a dampening effect on positivity. It's depressing. I think it's a major issue. I appreciate the fact that you pointed out that one of the things that we do in the media and in society is we don't prioritize dangers properly.
Right.
We'll get all crazy about one thing and not care about another. And if you look at the statistics, the thing that we don't care about is far more dangerous statistically in terms of real science and real math than the things that we worry about. And, you know, it's like taking drugs. The people that die on crack and all of the fentanyl and things of that nature, if we were to suddenly transpose that number to people dying in airplane crashes, we'd go, oh my gosh, you know, it'd be like all right over the headlines. People are dying because of, you know, one plane goes down in 6 months, and it's a big deal. But the fact that the same number of people are dying every day, every hour, we don't cover that as a crisis. I can go on and on about that. Our priorities are really not, you know, the way they should be.
Obviously, I think you have been around talk radio and followed talk radio long enough to know how cynical the talk radio audience is, particularly in overnights. And there are going to be a lot of people listening to us right now, and they're shouting out their radios quite cynically, Oh, you mean we have to do something about society because people are too dumb to avoid being scammed? There are so many things that you can do to make sure you don't get scammed. Why is it the government's job, or why is it a musician's job, or why is it the media's job to protect people from their own stupidity? Talk to those people, Michael, who say it's the fault of the people that keep falling for these scams that is causing this to be a problem.
That's a very interesting question. You know, blame the victim. And to a certain degree, I go along with that. Like, what do you mean you left your door unlocked? You're looking for trouble. What do you mean you left your keys in your car and now you're complaining that somebody stole it? What do you mean you got beaten up? You shouldn't have been in that part of town. All of these things that we try to balance personal responsibility for our collective responsibility is the stuff that talk radio is built on. It's the stuff that controversy is built on. So I'm not going to say that anybody who says that is necessarily wrong. But I do believe that we're all responsible not to be scammed, but we also are responsible to protect those that are vulnerable from being scammed. The elderly, they don't understand how to use the technology as well as some younger people and are easily fooled. Or they come from a different culture. Somebody calls them on the phone. They're lonely. They think that it's a friendly voice. They're being polite and not, you know, like me. When I smell them a mile away, I either hang up on them or I give them a piece of my mind. Well, a lot of people are not raised in that manner. So my answer to them is, yeah, I can understand how you feel. But have some compassion for the people that are not able to deal with it the way you do. And we all walk the line between self-responsibility and being our brother's keeper.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
I'm talking with Michael Harrison. You could not only hear the song in its entirety, but see the video at talkers.com. In looking at the video, Michael, much like some of the previous videos that you've done and some of the imagery you've included in various articles on Talkers, you use a fair amount of AI. Now, it's interesting because a lot of people view AI as something that makes the dangers of phone scamming and scams in general much worse. 60 Minutes did a whole piece on using AI to impersonate the voice of someone you know, even a loved one, and fooling people. And now here you are using AI to create artistry and imagery about a song that has to do with scams. There are going to be some people out there that say, hey, you know, AI is part of the problem here. And by using AI, even if you're not using it to scam people, you're only feeding the beast. Tell me about your decision to use AI in general, Michael, and on this music video specifically.
Well, AI, like all technology, is a double-edged sword. We're using the side of the sword that cuts for good, not for bad. That's like saying the police shouldn't use guns because, you know, guns are bad. Well, you know, this is also you fight fire with fire. I mean, what are you going to do? I don't think AI is necessarily bad. I think AI, like all new technology, is dangerous and must be watched very carefully. But we're talking more about AI as art, not AI as a tool for deception. And whenever there are new art forms, all the way back to the guys that painted on the walls of the caves, and then somebody invented a paintbrush, and the cave artists probably thought that was artificial painting, that how it's not real art because you're using a brush, that's cheating. You know, you use your fingers. This is an age-old syndrome. You know, today's technology is tomorrow's art. I think that artists, the artistic spirit within us, can use AI to amplify their talent and to be able to create things that were out of their range at one time before. So I have no problem using AI for the creation of images and for the creation of stories and art and anything that can bring a point home and entertain and inform use it to help fight people that use AI for bad. They're very different things, but all technology, automobiles, you know, people get run over. As I said before, airplanes fall down. Guns can be used to protect people or they can be used to steal and hurt people. This is all part of the balance that we human beings have to strike in order to be able to deal with all of these conflicting points of view and aspects of reality.
A lot of radio people are concerned about AI taking their job one day, and that day might be a bit sooner the way technology's advancing. How concerned do you think people who make a living in radio, whether they're DJs, and there are still people that are working as DJs, although there's fewer and fewer, or talk show hosts, how concerned should those people be about being replaced by artificial intelligence?
It depends on what you bring to the table. If you are a staff announcer who reads the call letters and does the basic announcing where you read what you're saying, you can be facing the end of your career. AI is going to take announcing jobs. But if you're a talk show host or you're an analyst or a commentator, all you have to do is just work a little harder. You have to be more original, because everything that AI does is based on something that's already out there. It's already in cyberspace. It's already been done by somebody. AI doesn't come up with original aspects of things. So if you're a talk show host, or you're an entertainer, you're a creator, you're a writer, anything in the arts, anything in communication, you're going to have to up your game, because the competition is now fierce, and you've got to be original. So many people in the media today, I hate to say this, I don't want them to lose their jobs, but if they do, it's back to what you were saying before. It's their own fault, and that's a hell of a statement. But it's their own fault because they're not keeping up with the demands that it takes to have the privilege to have a microphone. And I just think you have to work harder. I don't think computers will ever be able to replace the genius that sparks progress, the genius that invents things like AI. But if you're just a talking point radio announcer, and you know, you just go, okay, what's the current? What are people saying about Biden? What are people saying about Trump? Well, then you deserve to be replaced by AI, because you're not bringing anything new to the table. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the way I feel. I'm a big booster of talk radio, but I'm also a critic of it. And I'm very demanding. I think that it is our responsibility to be as original and to work as hard and stay on top of things as we can, or move over and let somebody else have the job, or give it to a computer that can do it least efficiently.
Right. You wouldn't think it would be too difficult to come up with an AI algorithm that could repeatedly say Hunter Biden is a criminal and Joe Biden has dementia, or Donald Trump is a racist. Right. You wouldn't think that would be too difficult.
That's the point. There's so many things that we could be talking about, and so many things that are important, back to priorities that we mentioned before, that if you're in this business and you just think it's your job to fill 2, 3, 4 hours by saying what is the current lingo, the current jargon, the current issues, the current talking points, the current position, the daily dance of affirmation, telling people what they expect you to say and what they want to hear, well, then this is going to be a brave new world, and you're going to have a lot of problems.
We've got to
keep up, you know?
Well said. And that leads me to my last question, Michael. You know, obviously, last week we had President Biden's State of the Union address, and people had all sorts of opinions about it. If you were giving the State of Radio address today, and who knows, maybe at the upcoming Talkers Conference, you will give the State of Radio address. I'll be curious to see who's sitting behind you and who's heckling you from the crowd. What would you say about the state of radio these days? Is it strong? Is it getting stronger? Is it diminishing? What's the state of radio?
State of radio is as strong as those of us in radio choose to make it and are willing to work to keep it strong. Around the world, you know, I was just the executive advisor to UNESCO for World Radio Day. And I learned in the process of doing that just how important radio is, not just in the United States, but around the world, as a lifeline for first responding, for providing information when the internet goes down, for being a cultural lifeline for many communities. Radio is trusted. I think radio, it's over a century old. It's been extremely important, and I think it will continue to be if the people that work in radio and the people that own the platforms take it seriously. If they give up on it and succumb to the idea that the digital era is not compatible to radio, then radio will fade the way vaudeville did. But I don't see that necessarily happening. And I do think that radio can go for many, many more years if the people that do radio, and here's the key, understand what radio is. I think the most important thing that radio broadcasters can do at this point, we're going to talk about it at our convention, is to come to an understanding of what does radio mean in the 21st century? What is it? A lot of people are opting for the word audio. Well, audio is fine, but audio and radio are not the same thing. Right. Radio is audio, but audio is not necessarily radio. It's like saying, hey, you know, we're all in the restaurant business. Why are we, let's put a sign out in front of our restaurant and say, food. Here, we sell food. or car dealers don't have to say whether it's a Cadillac or a Bentley or a Chevy. We sell cars, transportation. It's too generic. Radio is a synthesis of journalism, education, entertainment on platforms that have a certain commonality with people that are performers, and it blends entertainment and information and education in a way that is unique to its history and to its essence. And
absolutely,
that has to be preserved.
There's an intimacy there that's not the same as with a digital download or a podcast or playing a CD or anything like that. Michael Harrison, it's always a treat to talk with you. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Talkers. Best of luck with the song. We're going to play a little bit of it now. I hope people check it out. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Frank.
If people want to comment on any portion of our discussion, give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Here's a bit more of Damn Scammers. Get off my phone.
Their treachery's well-rooted. All our email is polluted. It's a crime. I can't tell the spam from news. Walk a cow field with no shoes. It's all slime. You pretend to be my bank, then proceed to yank my crank. Every day it's getting worse. This technology's a curse. Just say goodbye. Little Johnny's overseas. Grandma, I need cash now, please. Hurry up. No time to wait. You think you got it straight. Again, it's just AI. Damn scammers. They'll pull a fast one. Damn scammers. Don't believe me, you can ask one. Damn scammers. They cheat, they steal, they lie. It's enough to make you cry.
They all should die, die, die.
Damn scammers. So you're a Nigerian prince? Damn scammers.
The Other Side of Midnight.